You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Come on, Lottie. Let's go knock these guys out.
And Daryl.
I don't know if I need you to speak slower or faster, because I have no idea what that means.
How come I couldn't find that one? That was awesome.
I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect.
You know what? It's been over a month, and it's taken literally that long to recover from the majesty and splendor of BlizzCon, but tonight we're back, and welcome to episode number 112 of the Training Dummies, and this is December the 3rd. My name is Rob. I am in the World of Warcraft Legion Alpha. I was waiting for a round of applause.
Sorry.
Yeah, I am in the Overwatch beta.
You're getting no applause for that, jerk.
And with me tonight, all the way from the Great White North, is my bro host, Daryl.
Hello, hello. I am also in that Legion Alpha, which I actually downloaded last night.
Good, because they opened it up a little bit. You can actually play the new Melee Hunter class and some of the artifact entries now. So.
Oh, right on.
And the other voice that you may have heard there is our special guest who we vowed not to feed after midnight, because you know it happens. Oh, everybody, man. Give a warm welcome round of applause for Gizmo.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I'm not sure it's feeding after midnight. It's more like handing drinks to after midnight at BlizzCon. That's when things typically go.
I was going with the old the
Gremlins.
Yep, the Gremlins reference. But, you know, hey. Thanks for coming on, man. I stumbled upon your show, the Lords of the Storm, like right after you guys started, and it was good because I was looking for a really good heroes.
I apologize for the early episodes. It started out a little rough, but I think we were starting to get the hang of it finally after 41 episodes this week. So it's been really fun.
You do not need to apologize at all, because that's just the way it works. You know, we do our thing and it sucks for a while, and then we finally get good. And if people stick with it, then that's awesome. So
absolutely. I've just fallen in love with podcasting and the whole community. So it's been,
I know, man, you were the podcasting community bicycle now.
I'm trying to dip my hands in a little bit of everything, I guess. So started doing some VOD stuff too for BlizzPro. So it's been,
oh yeah, that's great. Well, what all are you doing now? I know you're doing Lords of the Storm. I know you've recently joined as a rotating guest on CTR.
Yes, and then around the same time I joined up with Convert to Raid, the BlizzPro Weekly, which is the BlizzPro fan site, and they have a whole bunch of podcasts as well. But we do a weekly, 15 minutes, just Blizzard news show. Mm-hmm. That I ran into Eldorian JR actually at a Hearthstone tournament, and he asked me and Multi, who's also been on this show, if we were interested in doing that. So we hopped on there, and it's been really fun.
Man, that's great, man. It's I've said this before, and it's kind of neat how. How really the community at times, you know, we have our special people out there, but it's less of a contest and more of like it just a family, and you can, you know, you've got the cousin that you hate, you don't want to talk to, but like it's still like there's some great people out there, and it's good to see like just the diversity of, you know, if you like Blizzard, odds are there's a spot for you somewhere. You know, there's just so much going on.
Oh, absolutely. And especially like in the Heroes podcast community, like all the podcasts have been amazing in just helping each other out, voting for each other. And it's just because, like, especially I found if you listen to one Heroes podcast, a lot of people listen to all of them. Mm-hmm. Just because it's one of those games where it's really good to have different point of views on different heroes and stuff. So, and they all, each show has their own like little niche and stuff. So it's
yeah, it feels like, the game is still new enough to where there's not 100 different Heroes shows out there, which would be fine. But yeah, you had a pretty good pool to pick from. Like you said, everybody kind of brings something different to the table. I started listening to Core, and those guys do something totally different, you know? Their formula is way different, and I'm like, thank you, this is great. You know?
It's the typical Scott Johnson just magic that he works on podcasts. Like, I was really interested to see kind of what that would be about, and it's been great. I mean, everything that guy touches is amazing. So
I feel like we've really fallen into our formula of what we do. Ever since Hoofit left, we just kind of decided we don't know everything about everything, and bringing a guest on is like a really good thing, because you get somebody who knows what they're talking about in a certain scenario, whether it's a specific hero or something in Hearthstone or something in Heroes or a class in Warcraft, that it's like you can bring somebody in who totally knows their stuff and everybody benefits from it. So it's kind of nice to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I'll at least try and pretend I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this.
We'll do some interview questions. That hasn't changed, and we'll get to know you a little bit here, and then we'll dive into the core.
Excellent.
Yeah. See what I did there. Why did you start playing Heroes of the Storm?
I've been playing Heroes since early alpha. I believe I was actually in like the first or second wave. Late April, early May of 2014, maybe? I think that's right. No, maybe it was 2015. I don't know. But I was in alpha for a really long time, and then it went to the beta, closed beta, then open beta, and then, of course, the game launched not too terribly long ago. So it's been awesome. It's really the first MOBA that's grabbed me. I tried League and stuff and wasn't a fan. I think it's because, like, those games have such a large hero pool right now. I don't know anything about any of those heroes. Like, I can look at some of them and be like, oh, I can see that's kind of played off this Blizzard hero. But like this game, I know who all these characters are. So I wasn't intimidated going in. Like, I have an idea what they're going to do before I even play them. And just the team factor has really kept me in it.
There's some value getting in on the ground level of something.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You feel like, yeah. You know, I didn't do the whole, I got into alpha, and so I didn't have to do the founders thing, but I really feel like, being able to invest myself from the beginning was something that, like you're saying, I don't have to worry about 80 something champions to pick from or whatever. And, you know, and Blizzard kind of did, they put their spin on it. They put the Blizzard Zots in there. A lot of those super annoying mechanics, the last hit stuff, the 110 minute walk down the middle lane, you know, that's all, you know, you don't have to worry about that stuff. It's, you know, it's very bite sized.
Yeah. And fast paced, which is nice. But yeah, I think getting in early definitely had something to do with it, because I was able to play I own every hero, and unfortunately I will continue to probably own every hero because I love throwing my money at Blizzard. So I've been able to get every hero to at least 5 when they come out.
Nice.
Which I think really helps.
I don't know about you, but I think I have officially given up stim packs, and we can talk about that a little bit later. I have a note on that, I'm in that same boat. Got them all to 5, 6, you know, several at 8, 9, 10. But yeah, I think the stim packs are just not working for me anymore.
Well, we've already mentioned a couple of the others, or you've already mentioned the differences in some of the MOBA games, but how would you compare Heroes with other MOBA-style games?
Like, as far as, like, competitive level, or just... I guess in the competitive scene, I haven't really followed League or Dota that much. Obviously, they're huge. I think the international, like, the prize pool is, like, 14.8 million or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
That's really crazy.
I don't know about League, but, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people are like, oh, Heroes, it's too easy or whatever. No, it's not easy. It's the Blizzard formula of easy to play, hard to master.
Exactly.
And I think they've been doing a great job. I know the matchmaking and stuff has been a mess, but I'm sure we'll talk about later. But as far as like the pro scene, it seems like it's been in a fairly good spot. The matches are super fun to watch. They're not terribly long. There's not the 25-minute lane soaking time in the game. Like, it's just team fighting from like minute one. So it's really good, and I think they're doing the right things in order to make this extremely competitive in the MOBA scene. With their, I know they're getting a new esports division where they hired the CEO of, I think he was the CEO of ESPN and like the NFL Network or something at one point. Oh, so that, okay. I mean, that's a huge hire. So it's they're definitely doing the right things.
I love the fact, like you said, it's there isn't a 25-minute lane, so there isn't a such thing as a carry. You know, you can have a great person on your team, but they're not going to carry you. You could get wrecked very easily. It's a full on. You know, everybody get in, everybody get involved, everybody have fun, and it's a lot of the dumb has been taken out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a few heroes that like some people still kind of refer to as carries, even though they're not really. But I don't know. Like Tyrande is actually, if I had to choose one to consider a carry, mm-hmm. it would be her, which is kind of surprising because she's like one of those half supports, like not really a support, mm-hmm. has a tiny heal, but just her effect to be able to select a target to take increased damage. As long as your team is following your mark, your hunter's mark, mm-hmm. and you're landing your stuns and stuff, you can actually have a pretty darn big impact on the game with her. So,
yeah, absolutely. What would you say is then is your favorite hero and role to play?
Oh man, so this changes quite a bit. When I first started, I played supports because I hadn't really played a MOBA before, and it was kind of the easiest to get into, to kind of sit back and watch. And Lili, I fell in love with Lili.
Yep.
But she was super fun, and then Nazebo was my next main team for a super long time, then Tassadar. But right now, currently, if I'm just playing in quick match by myself, probably Sylvanas. But if I'm playing with people and like we can build a comp around it, I love playing Kerrigan. Kerrigan is super fun to play, just to dive in and stuff. But a lot of times on quick match, that doesn't work out at all because you have to have a pretty specific comp. And then also Tyrande. Actually, over the past couple days, I've really fallen in love with her.
What was it episode you guys did about Kerrigan? Who was on? Was that Four Court? Jester?
That was Mike Udall. And
yeah, I think that was the week
before BlizzCon. Or
mm-hmm. Man, so that got me so hyped on Kerrigan. And I got in there, and Kerrigan is, dude, well, if you take that shield build, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, and like her combo is another one of those combos that can have a huge impact, like picking people off, or if you get it like four, five, even five people mm-hmm. when you're stunned. It's just, it's insane. So you feel really good whenever you land one of those.
The thing that I noticed really, though, is kind of like you hinted to a little bit. You can't just go in by yourself and play her. You really kind of need at least one or two other people that are in voice with you or that are at least on the same page with you, you know?
Yeah, because like with quick match right now, if you get thrown into a group and don't have any support, you're toast.
Mm-hmm.
You need that. Even like, so you'll get in and have a Tassadar, which isn't terrible, but like if you get Tyrande, there's just not enough heals there for you to get your shield going.
Man, a lot of what you said seriously was just kind of echoed my story. I remember getting in and playing Lili and being and just feeling like you were really contributing, but there's a lot of it's not basic, but there's a lot of ease into the game with a hero like Lili, where you're able to really kind of bring the heals, but you're not stressed out as much, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, she's super hard to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Her heal's easy to do. It's just hit Q. So you can really just kind of follow someone around who knows what they're doing mm-hmm. to learn the game and sit there and hit Q to heal them. And then, I mean, you're Water Dragon. Okay. Yeah, that's easy enough. I'll just throw it on somebody, and then you're blind. Easy enough.
Hmm. Absolutely.
What would you? I guess my favorite role to play. I guess I didn't answer that.
I would
probably be specialist. Would probably be specialist, but I'm kind of just a flex player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite map?
Oh man, so this one. My opinions have changed a lot on maps over time. I can tell you for sure my least favorite is Garden of Terror.
I wanted sucks. So bad. I'm like, okay, I will happily keep Haunted Minds. Can you guys cycle out Garden of Terror, please?
Haunted Minds is one of my favorite maps.
Yeah,
I love
that,
map, man.
Yeah.
But I'm digging the Towers of Doom right now. And maybe that'll wear off in a week or so after I've played it more. Mm-hmm. But it's just so different, and I just love the kind of change of pace.
I don't know if I agree. I feel like it was supposed to be a Halloween map, and someone forgot to turn off the Halloween. and that's great, and I really like the mechanics of it. When I go in there, I feel like, oh, hey, somebody, you know, I feel like I need to tweet Dustin Browder and go, hey, you guys forgot to turn off Halloween, you know. But, yeah, there's something weird about it. But, yeah, I like it. It's good. It's fresh. It's new. The fact that they're throwing something out there like that is that's completely new to the MOBA scene is great. I will never discourage that.
Yeah.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of Heroes? And I know that it's, you know, technically 6 months old, right? 5 months old, six months old.
Man, I honestly can't even remember when it launched, just because it launched for me a while ago.
Yeah, right.
So I have two that stick out. One of them we actually talked about on our show that we recorded yesterday, and because we were going over Stitches, mm-hmm. and Stitches I think was my third master skin, and I liked playing him obviously whenever he was God mode back in Alpha. Just amazing tank, top damage every time, and that hook was insane. But I'd taken the heroic, Gorge? Yes, Gorge. Devours the ability, where you can swallow someone, obviously. And then at level 20, I took the Hungry Hungry Stitches, which isn't a great one to pick, but I had a lot of fun with it, so I picked it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing on Cursed Hollow, and both teams had all their forts and keeps down. It's just the core. Mm-hmm. Our team got a really good minion push going, and then there was a team fight, and they wiped us, except for me. So they rush our core. We have a bunch of minion waves going on theirs. Theirs is going down pretty slowly. They get to our core. Our core is going down super fast. And because I took that talent, I ate them all with our core at 1%.
Oh, no.
And held them long enough to right when they came out, their core got finished off. It was wow. insane. Like, I wish I had the video
oh
of it.
Oh my god!
Still,
but
like,
yeah.
I threw my headphones across the room and got up. I was playing by myself too, so like it's not like it was.
Ah, see, you want to be in voice where you're all just yeah. screaming at each other. Yeah,
like it would have been awesome to be playing with friends. But then another one I was reminded of. There was a local Kansas City Heroes of the Storm tournament at a place called SoPro Gaming, where we had a Zord team go in. And we won, which was awesome. But we had this one moment. I was playing the Zeebo, and there was this team. The first team we were playing, who got second place, was kind of salty and not very sportsmanlike, I guess. And they beat us the first game, and we're talking a whole bunch of trash. And we're sitting right next to each other. We're like, guys, calm down. And they had like their wives and stuff there sitting behind them. And I just landed nice. In the second game a sick Nazeebo zombie wall, and I couldn't, like, I forgot where I was, and I just, like, stood up out of my chair and yelled, suck it! And I look over, and one of the wives is like, really?
And I was like, yeah. Hey, I'm really? Yeah.
And, yeah, it was, everyone just started cracking up, except for them, obviously. I felt really bad, but it was kind of a moment.
Nope, don't feel bad one bit, man. Wonderful.
That's really? Awesome. You get to go there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yourmom.com.
That works.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. All right. Do you have any other questions, Rob?
We got a ton, but I mean, we'll save that for the topic down here.
All right, then.
This is Salty Slauncha, a pillar of the World of Warcraft community, and you're listening to the Training Dubbies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any yes. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, at Hand_TTD.
Yeah, we may take a month to recover from BlizzCon, but we are active on Twitter.
We are.
So, if you hadn't guessed it, tonight we're talking about Heroes of the Storm, and this show is inspired by, I would say largely by the trip to BlizzCon and being able to meet Gizmo in real life and to take a blurry selfie with him and shake his hand. And I don't know, man. I keep saying this and stuff, but I feel like that BlizzCon just really changed my life. And I'm super, super happy to have done that and to meet so many people and to this thing that we're so passionate about and that we're all into, that we podcast about, we talk about, and we think about. And, you know, we when we're at work, we're sneaking time on the internet to go look at things that aren't work related. You know, this is like,
who does that?
Big deal. And then you go to BlizzCon and then you realize like this thing is just like, it's so much, it means the same thing that it means to you. It means to hundreds and thousands of people across the world. And it's just so huge to know that, that you are part of this community that's just bigger than just gaming. You know, this isn't like when I was a kid and I would go and play Contra and put in the code to get 30 lives. You know, this is like huge. You know, here I am, a grown man now, and this is like, this is what I do and it's what I love, and it's just awesome. So sidebar that for a minute, I guess, my little sappy BlizzCon moment. But
actually, was this your first BlizzCon?
It was, man. It was
excellent. Yeah, your last year is mine, and I won't miss another one. So
see,
yeah.
the thing that happened. I said we're going to move on, but we're not yet. So what happened was, I felt like this was going to be my first and probably my last, because, you know, I'm an older adult with two kids and I'm married, and, you know, and this was a sacrifice for everybody, to help me go to this. And I thought, you know what, this bucket list kind of thing, I'll do it. But man, I went and I was like, this is incredible. This is insane. And I mean, I don't even have to describe the event. We all know what it was. But just being there, just, I feel like it just really hit me at the core. And I got home and I'm like, I feel like it's so weird. I just feel like a changed person. Like, I'm just like so happy and so satisfied. And this was like so good that like my wife was even kidding around with me. She's like, man, that was your, she's like, ever since you've gotten back, it's just been like so awesome. She's like, I don't know what happened at BlizzCon. And I was like, I don't know, man. It's so good, you know? So, there's a good chance that just based upon how it was after me, after I got back, that like, I'm like that, hopefully that won't be my last one. So, We'll see how it goes, but man, it was so, so good. Heroes of the Storm, state of the game. We're kind of going to talk about a bunch of hero stuff tonight, but I don't want to ask this first. This, what did we learn? Because I feel like that's everything down below. One of the main things that happened with Heroes of the Storm at BlizzCon this year was some hero announcements. And the main one that everybody lost their mind over was the Cho'Gall thing. And how they completely have innovated, pushed some barriers and done things that no other MOBA has done with the one hero being controlled by two players. I guess first impressions, would you say, Cho'Gall, Gizmo, would you say he's rad or bad?
Oh, okay. So it's a little too early to nail down definitively right now. Because Hotslogs, which like the statistical website or whatever, came out recently, and I think last time I checked it, he was sitting at a 31% win rate.
Dear Lord.
Which was the lowest. And but there's some things you need to take into consideration. One, that is only in Hero League, which Cho'Gall is fairly easy to counter, and you know, since he was so new, people were either picking and second and third or fourth and fifth, because you have to have the two picks in a row to do it.
Right.
And so if that was happening, it's easy to build a team around him with giant killers.
Because you saw it coming, yeah.
Yeah. And two, not only is he new and people shouldn't be playing Hero League with him until they actually know how to play him, but it's, again, something that's never been done in a MOBA before, two players on one hero. Mm-hmm. So I think another thing Blizzard did to be conservative was be pretty conservative with his numbers. Because the last thing they wanted is to release a hero that they have no idea how it's going to react to the meta, mm-hmm. and him just destroy everything.
Oh, you said mm-hmm. meta.
I know. we don't like using that word, but
I don't care what you say. There's a meta. there's always a meta.
But, I barely know what it means.
You know what it means.
Barely.
Dustin came out and he said, "Mine, like, if you subtract the new players, his win percent was 46, which is on the lower end. They say what they consider a successful hero is between 45% and 55% win rate. Okay. So that's in their window.
Uh-huh.
But even he said he was surprised it was that high. So that's why I think they were
really
with their numbers. Yeah.
Well, one point that I think you had made, and I think several people probably brought this up, but the fact that not in Hero League, but in quick matches and whatnot, like, you're seeing him on both sides.
Yeah.
So you're not going to see more than a 50% win rate, period, because he's on both teams. People are trying to win the gold and spread the hero. You know, so there's automatically a one is going to lose. So those are all a wash.
Yeah, and I don't know. So that obviously wouldn't have been factored into the hot slogs thing, but I'm sure the number he said, the 46%, that was taken into consideration. But me, like, personally playing him, I've had a blast with him. I love playing him, and I don't know what my win percent is for sure, but I know it's well above 50% with him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard to tell until we see him messed around with in the mm-hmm. competitive scene.
Yeah, that's going to be huge.
Like, DreamHack happened, and I don't believe he was picked. But so, yeah, well, we'll just have to see. I'm sure none of those teams were comfortable throwing him in there just because he hadn't been out very long. But it'll definitely be interesting to see. It definitely puts you at a disadvantage as far as you have one less body on the map.
Right.
But going up against that guy, like, if you're a one hero, it's like you forget that that's two people,
uh-huh.
and you walk up and, like, you can just get destroyed.
I feel like you can easily bully a lane if you're not countered. Like, mm-hmm. you could walk in, and I mean, first thing, I've been playing him a lot, and first thing you go and roll your bomb, and you hit the gate, and, like, you look and. Not only is the gate and the minions getting wrecked immediately from level one right away, but any heroes that are standing back there, you know, and you look and it's like all of a sudden, dude, that just took off like 10% of this tower. You're like,
yeah.
What the heck, you know? So, and like, the match hasn't even really gotten going yet, and you're already tearing through the walls, you know? It's, I mean, he hits like a truck.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the only heroes really that can counter him by themselves that I've run into is obviously Leoric, because you have such a large health pool, mm-hmm. his life drain just wrecks you.
Yeah.
The monk's seven-sided strike can destroy you. And actually, Artanis, with his ability to build shields up quickly,
mm-hmm.
Had several close calls with him where I'm like, oh, we're by ourselves. We'll just take him out. And he's gotten really close. It's scary.
Well, and then with the, like, Brightwing's polymorph, you know, there's ways, you know, once you hit a few talent tiers later on, Tyrande's Hunter's Mark and Sylvanas's vulnerability and whatnot, I think, like, and like you were mentioning earlier, any sort of giant killer, like, I don't know if he's better in the early game than he is in the late game. I don't
know. I tend to think he is a little bit, especially just like, because if you can get the gate in a tower or both towers down before the first objective, like, that's a huge experience lead,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which is nice. But yeah, there's a lot of things that can counter him. I know Anubarak's Web Blast.
Oh yeah, yeah,
is pretty rough on him.
Yeah.
That's 8 seconds of taking two people out.
Daryl, you got to play him a little bit. What do you think?
I don't want to brag, but I'm sitting at 100% win rate right now with him. although I've the one that does the walking, Cho. although to be fair, it was only two beginner matches with my son as Gaul, and I had Rob and another buddy of ours who play the game a lot in the match as well. So I think it was kind of stacked in our favor. But I'm still at 100%.
Fair enough, fair enough.
They probably had to factor that out of their percentages because that's just not fair how you were dominating.
Probably. I haven't got to play it, but I haven't got to play it as much as I'd like to. Like, I've I played those two matches with one son, so I'm 2-4 for my quest right now to get the gold. And my other son, I haven't had a chance to play with him yet. I've been actually doing some renovations at home here, so I haven't had a chance on the weekend to play with him. So this weekend, I'll get another couple in for sure.
Yeah, you'll get that quest for the gold too, then.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and it's finally to the point. It's actually really hard to get that now because everyone cranked it out in the first week. I still only have one of my four wins I need.
I got two because I was able to give it to one of our buddies in the guild that didn't go. I assumed I was going to get the four because I had a couple other friends, my brother and some other people, but they've already kind of picked it up here and there.
Rob, maybe I'll hook you up because I've got my son. Like, I've got both my sons. I'm going to get for myself, but my wife may still need it. She's never played Heroes.
Yeah,
just
log in under her
account. No. She'd have to do it. I would never play her account, and that's not allowed, right?
Oh, right. Exactly. No, wait. You pay for it, right? It's your account.
That's true.
I love Cho'Gall. I like Gall better than Cho. I have had the advantage so far of being on voice with basically every time I played him, so you know, you can really kind of, I think they're, I would never want to go into quick match by myself and try and do that. I feel like that would just be a nasty experience, but yeah, I've had a lot of fun. The no resource to worry about, no mana, no, you know, whatever, is really nice, and it makes sense because I can't imagine both of the units having to worry about a resource and everything. But yeah, I feel like he's fun. He hits like a truck. I don't know. I would hope to see him in some higher level play, in some pro games, or at least in some on an exhibition level. You know, watching Cloud9 play as him would be hilarious and fun. But I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I mean, you know, I know mid is a bad word, but I feel like you probably aren't going to see him in any really competitive gameplay for a while. I don't know. It could be one of those weird pocket strategies that all of a sudden, yo, hey, Murky Abathur, boom. You know, like, nobody saw that coming, you know? So, speaking of new heroes, wait, I was told that speaking of insert topic here is the worst segue ever, so I apologize for that. New heroes. They brought up a couple more at BlizzCon. They brought up Lunara and Greymane. I played Lunara. I was super unimpressed, but I was in a kind of a weird situation. The match I was in, no one had any idea what they were doing. A buddy of mine didn't get to try any of the new heroes, so he was on Tyrande, and I was on Lunara, and we were on the Towers of Doom, and it was weird. It just felt really weird to me. So my initial impression was that I didn't really like her. But the more that I'm hearing now, I thought up front she was going to be a support. And I don't know if that just was my me being a racist or I don't know, whatever. You know, like, just like looking at her and go, oh, okay, yeah. Well, she's this little dryad, little druidy nymph bouncing around, you know, oh, well, she's a support, and she's not. She's an assassin. So I thought this may be the first hero that I don't pick up, but the more I hear, I think the more I'm excited about her. Gizmo, are you looking forward to her?
I am super excited for her. I love the whole damage over time, like poison effects. I was a huge Nazebo player, so like that's my play style. And the fact that like her goal is to hit a little bit of everyone. Because like you can apply that damage over time, and then I think one of her abilities, you activate it, and like there's a little explosion for each person that's affected by it, which also I think in return heals her a little bit, which is cool. So I'm really looking forward to that, and like her movement, I feel like is going to be a little annoying at first because has the 20% increased speed, but it's not like it's a smooth speed, like it's
it is very, very twitchy. Yeah,
which is cool because it'll make, you know, skill shots a little bit harder to hit on her. But, like, it's, I don't know. I feel like my screen is going to be bouncing around a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it threw me off, too, that one of her abilities was that wisp. And I was like, wait, this is an ability. This is, like, a full-on ability? It doesn't do anything?
It does a ton. That is a ability of vision, which is super important that you can have up at all times.
Yeah, I guess.
I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's a neat tool for your team.
I get, yeah, you know, there's a time and a place for that. I just having that as one of your core abilities just seemed a little weird to me. Mm-hmm. But Daryl, did you get to check out Lunara?
No, I didn't play any of the heroes at BlizzCon, actually. I didn't play heroes at all at BlizzCon. So, did not.
I didn't get a chance to play Overwatch at BlizzCon, and that was something that I really, 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 really wanted to do, but
yeah, that line was just wrong.
Oh yeah. In fact, you know what? You guys keep going. I'm going to jump in here. How about Greyman? What were your thoughts on him?
I'm really excited for him. It's just a really neat idea. I mean, obviously, I think a whole bunch of people have been wanting a Worgen in this game, but the way they implemented him where he can pretty much transform at will. While he's in human form, he's a ranged assassin, and then he can leap forward into melee while transforming into the Worgen and mm-hmm. just tear people up. And the fact that his other abilities kind of... they change depending on what form he's in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a hero that I think is going to be kind of high skill capped to know which situations, you know, to be in what form. Mm-hmm. And his heroics look really fun as well.
I think that it's super awesome that the bounce of back and forth between forms can be kind of used as a chase or as an escape. You know, there's a lot of depth to the design of the new characters, which led to something that we kind of talked about a little bit ahead of time that I was thinking about in the car the other day I was driving, that some of these newer heroes are coming out and they're just so awesome. Like Blizzard has really honed their design process and really gotten in on these abilities, and I feel like maybe like they're better now than they were a year ago. So some of the heroes that are coming out now, you're looking at, you know, you look at that. I mean, Cho'Gall's a bit of an outlier, so he's probably not a good example. But even more recent heroes, Leoric, even Sylvanas, like and Kael'thas, like I look at them and I'm more compelled to play those guys than I am Thrall or than I am, you know, an older hero. Do you think that maybe some of the design of the newer heroes are making the older ones obsolete?
So a little bit. There's in all these type of competitive games, you're going to have a little bit of power creep. I know that's a term that's used a lot in card games like Magic mm-hmm. and Hearthstone. Which it's, you know, based along the idea of to keep something interesting and exciting, more powerful stuff has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's as big of a case in a MOBA mm-hmm. Because it's so number balanced and stuff. Abilities, you can change the numbers at any point. But as they are designing new heroes, they have more ideas, obviously, more ways to make things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And with the hero pool, the size that it's at right now, I don't think it's a huge deal. But I know even they've taken a few times to go back and revisit old heroes to try and change some stuff up, whether it be just to balance them or make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I think once they have a large enough hero pool that they will eventually go back and change some heroes. Like I know they're talking about adding in, I think it's a new mechanic to Nova, to where she's actually going to have, I don't know if it's a talent or whatnot, but for each consecutive snipe that you hit, it gets buffed up until you miss a snipe.
Oh, yeah.
And it resets, yeah. Which is really cool. And I know like they talked about changing Tychus into more of a warrior, like assassin, mm-hmm. like a warrior killer, which would be cool. So it's, I don't know. It'll be hard to tell until there's a large hero pool, but I think that they'll go back and try and make sure the old heroes get some love as well.
So I guess that kind of leads into the next thing here a little bit. Let me backtrack. I just thought of like five things at once. So when I'm excited about playing a hero, I think about their talents. I think about what they bring to the table. You know, I don't like, there's just some that I look at and like, I love Vala and I was a huge Vala fan for a long time. But like now when I look at her, I'm like, I don't really want to play Vala. Like you've got other ranged assassins that feel a little more dynamic, or they feel a little more like compelling to play. You can't really fix that with turning up this ability by 3%, or you know. So I mean, there is a, like you said, the power creep or a design creep where some of the ideas are just better, and they would genuinely have to go back and rework some heroes. Like you mentioned Nova, I know at BlizzCon they actually talked about Gazlo and doing a lot with some of his turret talents and you know, trying to, you know, maybe bring him up to that compelling level. But in the meantime, they have in the most recent patch done the changes to scaling and the death timers and everything. What's your take on that? Have you got to play a lot since that was implemented?
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Like I had completely forgotten about it at first, and I was just going in. And I was like, man, like things are just getting wrecked. Like why am I hitting so hard? Things are getting wrecked. Mm-hmm. But it really there hasn't been too many heroes that I've played so far that I've noticed have suffered a whole bunch from it. But it's like Sylvanas feels really good right now. Her early increase, I guess, because I guess what they did was they moved all of, instead of gaining more power each time you leveled up and HP, mm-hmm. they kind of condensed it all into the base hero, and you just gain less now. So you mm-hmm. start out a lot stronger. I don't know. It feels really nice, especially with the death timer changes, where death timers are longer now. It makes early deaths more important, so you don't want to just go in and be like, oh, I can die and I'll be back in just a second.
Yeah, but right.
A big thing I've noticed from it actually is, maybe it's just me, but it seems like it's added about 5 minutes on to like an average length of a game. I've had a lot of games go like, I mean, before like games would last anywhere from 10 minutes to 18, sometimes 20. Mm-hmm. Now I've been having games go, I've had a few 17-minute matches, but I've had a lot go 25 to even I had a 36-minute match on 2 minutes.
Oh, shoot. Wow. Basically, then what that's done is put you in the range where a lot of times I wouldn't even hit level 20, so you never even got to pick your level 20 talent. And I think maybe what they've done is to even that out. So I guess this could be compared to the stat squish they did in Warcraft with the last expansion, right?
Yeah, and it's so now, like, before when you got four levels up, mm-hmm. it was not only are you having to deal with the other team having a whole new talent tier, mm-hmm. but they're so much stronger because mm-hmm. of their number increase. Now it's just a talent tier, which is still a big deal, but it's not, like, insurmountable. Mm-hmm. So, like, and especially I feel like once you reach those 20, like, you get level 20 now, if it gets to that point, that's when it really seems the game stretch, because there's no more talent tiers, so you're never mm-hmm. getting overwhelmingly powerful. So then mm-hmm. things can kind of drag on for a little bit until, obviously, you know, you get a team wipe and the death counters are so large, then you can really go and push for the win.
Yeah. Daryl, have you noticed anything with the scaling at all?
I didn't know there was changes until I saw them in the notes here.
Okay, this is funny because I was really hyped about this because they had put it on the PTR and there was a lot of talk about it, and I was like, good, because I really feel like for the most part things can snowball very easily, and they've done a really good job with the catch up mechanic and the fact that if you're four levels down, a couple of hero snipes will kind of help you out. But this, I think, from the beginning kind of prevented snowballing. So I thought that was really good. But then I started to notice, and I've heard on a few shows people talking about how it really impacted some particular heroes over the other. And somebody, it may have been Core, one of those guys, Scott Johnson, talking about Thrall. And so I went in, I was like, all right, you know, I really, really like to play Thrall, but he just feels a little soft for me. So I've been playing Thrall lately, and holy cow, man, that dude is I don't know, man. There's something about Thrall now that like, I think it's just because of the scaling changes that really brought him in line. You mentioned Sylvanas. I've heard people talk about Sonya. But, man, some of these heroes, like, really benefit from it. Do you think that there was other ones that really got hurt from it, or do you think it kind of just brought some up to speed? Or,
like I said, none that I have played, I've noticed a huge suffer, but I also haven't really gone into the matches looking out for that, which I probably should. So considering I should talk about it on the podcast, but
it's your job.
But it's, yeah, I don't know. I think it's definitely been positive for a majority of the heroes, at least.
Dude, so that Thrall skin,
the genie?
Yeah. All right. I mean, okay, so you get that, and now this dude is just, instead of lightning bolts, it's the lava bolt or lava beam. Like, man, and you chuck one of those out, and it hurts, man. You watch, like, somebody get hit by that, and it stings, and that's a good feeling. I mean, here's this guy that I liked anyways. He was fun, but I was just like, nah. And now, like, you throw that out there and you watch, man, there's some bite behind that guy. And, like, that's what you want. That's what makes you pick this hero again or keeps you coming back.
Yeah, and I definitely have noticed the extra hit behind that. Being hit by him, be like, what the heck just happened? Like, that,
right?
Did I get sniped by a Nova somewhere that I didn't see? Because, like, that did not used to do that much damage, but yeah.
So the big thing at BlizzCon, like this has just been like the hot topic, the salty topic, whatever, for months now, is matchmaking.
Yeah.
Dustin Browder addressed this specifically at one of the panels, and I wasn't there. I'm pretty sure you and I were talking. You said you did get to make it to that panel.
Yeah, I did. And that's why I got front row seats, because you guys were waiting, trying to watch the tournament. And I went to this, and then people were fed up.
Yeah. run over that, man. Run over the matchmaking. You know, what do we have to look forward to? Is this really getting fixed?
Okay, so this is... I talked about this on our show the week before BlizzCon, about how this was, for me, the biggest panel at BlizzCon, specifically for this reason, because matchmaking is in a terrible spot. It's horrid. I haven't even played ranked because of it, just because it's a mess. But... they were quiet about it. They didn't really say anything until like a week before Browder was like, here, or state of the game panel, I'll be there, let's talk about it. So I knew something big was coming, and they went on to explain that this game was built on the StarCraft engine, and the matchmaking kind of came along with that. They kind of used the same matchmaking system, and in StarCraft, where it's 1v1, it works great. But in this system where you're trying to put five people with five people, it doesn't work that great. And they realize that now, because currently, the way they explained it, it grabs five people just randomly, throws them in. And then as the matchmaking is going on, it keeps swapping people in and out. Be like, all right, no, this person's a better fit. Get that person out here. This person's a better fit. And it turned it into just a tangled mess. So the new matchmaking system, it may increase matchmaking times a little bit, but instead of grabbing five people right off the bat, it is taking you and it's saying, okay, this person's a good match, this person's a good match, this person's a good match, and it's actually building a good team from the start instead of trying to fix a bad team that it just happened to put together.
Now, is this just for Hero League, or is this quick match?
Quick match, AI games, can you queue into that? And play with strangers
and AI.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's
so long.
I play a lot of AI. It's just fun and easy. But yeah, you queue up however you want, and then it'll just fill in the holes with you know, however many people you need.
Excellent. Well, yeah. So this is going to go across the board, and they stated matchmaking is absolutely their number one priority right now. They want to get it fixed, and it's extremely important, especially in this state of the game with how early on it is. You don't want people to be coming in here and getting, like, for instance, I'm level 40. I've been level 40 forever. And I get into games where there's level 3 people, like not rank 3, level 3,
mm-hmm.
and like a level 7.
Like level 3 account.
Yeah. Like, and it's like that is not only not fun for me because I'm playing with people that don't understand the game yet, but it can't be fun for them because they don't understand. They're just getting hammered.
Oh, they're getting wrecked, yeah.
Yeah, and that's they're not going to want to come back and play the game if that's the case. So they said they think this new system is going to fix it, but he said, hey, it may not, and we are ready for that, and like we are going to hammer this out. We're going to get it. We're going to make it right.
There was a lot of things that go into the matchmaking that we don't see in a lot of the formula that they're looking at. They're trying to say, everything from are you master with Sylvanas, but you're only level two with Nazebo. So trying to take some of that stuff into account. I mean, that algorithm is crazy. What do you think then, what was it, 420 YOLO or I don't know, 360 no scope, whatever it is that they're doing. What's an acceptable time for you as a player who wants to get in, bust out a match, have some fun? Is there a magic number? Do you think like at 15 minutes you say, screw it, I don't care. Just put me with that level three guy.
I would probably say 5 minutes, which is probably long for some people to want to wait and sit in a queue. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I would rather sit and wait. And queue times actually lately, the past couple weeks have been strangely long, and I don't know why. So it's not a big deal for me. I want to play a nice, fun, competitive match. However, on that note, if I'm playing quick match, I don't get too upset whenever I get the account level four or whatever in my group because
yeah, quick match,
it's just
yeah.
It's quick match, you know, whatever. So it's mainly the ranked play for me, which I won't touch right now.
I never finished my ranking matches.
The placement games? It was rough.
And I feel like the more time goes on, I don't regret that. I feel like there was a lot of issues. Every show that I listened to, man, there was like a whole new level of salty going on. And I feel like they're probably going to reset things anyways to some degree, you know, once the new matchmaking system is rolled out.
Yeah, he said that they are going to reset it. And you know, I know people are upset that it's in preseason. It's been in preseason forever now, but I'm thankful they haven't moved on into seasons and they're not going to until this is fixed.
Well, people can get butthurt about the preseason thing, but for a minute, dude, the game came out in July, right?
Yeah.
June, somewhere, July.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. I feel like maybe the queue times and stuff are a little long right now because BlizzCon is over. A lot of the world championship is over. The hype is worn off, you know, and you look at any major sporting event, right? You look at football. Yeah. Well, after the Super Bowl's over, you know, it dies down. People take a break. You know, people, you know, there's other things that go on. Another sport, whatever. But I feel like this is just right now is just a season of them, you know, ironing out some bugs and hopefully getting the matchmaking and the things kind of fixed so that, you know, I mean, you know, they're serious about it. Like you mentioned earlier, the big push for esports, the hiring, the big wig, the real, you know, the whole new division, Hearthstone's championships this year, they're committing to, over $2 million prize pool. I can't remember what it was, but I mean, they're really, really putting their money where their mouth is with this stuff. And I think, you know, I think some people right now are just laying low. They're taking a break. They're waiting, you know, so I can understand why there would be maybe some longer queue times right now, but
yeah, and that's true. And it's another thing with the matchmaking that I had never even taken into consideration is with how many different game modes they have right now. Mm-hmm. So think like, there's a pool for AI games. There's a pool for quick match games. There's a pool for Hero League and then a pool for Team League. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that's thinning out the players, which is one of the reasons that they're not, you know, releasing the new arena mode anytime soon. They're pushing that back. They said probably late next year. Because that would just even mess with matchmaking even more.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know.
But yeah, it's, I'm hopeful that we're going to see some sort of patch, matchmaking patch, either come out with Lunara, which should be I don't think this coming week, but maybe next week.
I've heard the eighth.
The eighth
is what I heard.
Excellent. See, that's what I was hoping, because that would be their 3 week thing.
And that was another question I had. Do you think the 3 week schedule for Heroes is realistic, or do you think that maybe trying to push Heroes out at that pace, you're gonna see like a few flops here and there?
I think when they first announced the 3 to 4 week thing, they said that was their goal, mm-hmm. and that wouldn't happen every time, which is good to hear. So they're not just going to throw someone out there if they don't think they're ready.
Yeah, but first time it doesn't happen, yeah. It's going to be like weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, when they were talking about Heroes at BlizzCon, they said they had a list of over 200 heroes mm-hmm. in the works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All at different degrees. But
on the bottom line is, I don't care about any of them right now except for Tracer. And if we can get that done, then we're good. So.
Well, I think you'll be sitting on that till spring. I don't think she's coming out.
I know. I saw the screenshots and everything. And I really feel like that's going to probably be launched pretty close around Overwatch. Which,
I'm sure.
I don't know. I want the hype. Give it. Let's do it. Come on. Tracer. So we talked a little bit about the new map at the beginning. And the map rotations. Do you think the map pool is getting to the point where they need to start rotating maps out? Do you feel like, I mean, I okay. So people make the argument in terms of like the pro scene and how maps affect the pro scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that. Like, not one bit. That's fine. Whatever. Don't even care. You guys are making money to play video games and that's awesome. Enjoy it. Do you think, though, we're at a point where they really need to start rotating maps out? Do you think we're going to see Haunted Minds come back, you know, 2.0? Or are we going to – are there too many maps?
I don't think we're – if we're not there yet, we're close to where there's going to be too many maps to just keep them all going at once. I think a 5 to 6 map rotation – will be good. For how long, I don't know. It depends on how long seasons are. Like if they're doing like a, you know, 4 seasons a year, then mm-hmm. that may be a little bit small of a pool. But at the same time, that's, you know, maybe if I don't play Garden of Terror for 4 or 5 months, God willing, hopefully that happens.
Right.
maybe when it comes back, I'll have missed it so much and it'll feel like a new map again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll definitely happen at some points. They've been doing the 5-map rotation, I think, a couple times. It may be 6 maps.
So here's what sucks, too, right? Okay, we got Towers of Doom.
Yep.
Great map. Totally awesome. Totally new, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've, over the past several sessions that I've had to sit down and play, I think I've played it 2 or 3 times. I don't know. Like when the Diablo maps came out, right? They very intentionally changed the map rotation to where you got those a lot more and you got to experience those a lot more. And I feel like this one, like, it's getting a little neglected here.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it was actually on, they did a map rotation that ended on December 1st, where they had, I don't remember the maps, but I know Towers of Doom was obviously in there. And I think it's a little, kind of just a bit of luck of the draw thing.
Yeah.
Because I only saw, I think, 2 or 3 times during that. And I've played it a couple times today, actually. But, yeah, I don't know. And it may also be because in the last PTR, you went in, and if you were playing a game in Quick Match, you were playing on Towers of Doom. So maybe they weren't, maybe that's kind of, hey, if you really want to play this map, help us out in PTR. Give us, you know, best star stuff.
Maybe.
But I do think a big part of it's just kind of luck of the draw, because 5 maps, it's only a 20% chance of getting it, you know? So mm-hmm. you could have gone the whole week and played a ton of games and never gotten it.
Yeah. All right. Another thing we kind of touched on a little bit. What's your opinion on the 360 no scope deal or no deal?
Well, my first question is, why isn't it just 365 days?
Well, because this you could come up with some sort of 360 no scope pun, and that's
way cooler.
Well,
I know some people were saying when they saw the price, they're like, oh, that makes sense because I'm going to do a 360 and walk away from it, which actually doesn't make sense because that would be a 180.
I love when people are like, if you see trouble coming your way, just do a 360 and walk head on into it. Okay. Very quickly, I love the stim pack. I love the way it makes you feel. I love leveling up and getting the gold and but that right there is not quite enough to sucker me in this time.
So I've had the stim pack since they came out, mm-hmm. and this one popped up. When as soon as they announced it, I figured it would probably be between $50 and $60. So it came out $60. No surprise to me. And I was thinking about it, and then I decided, you know, I already spent so much on heroes and skins because they're all 50% off right now. Well, mainly skins because I had all the heroes. That you know, I don't think I need it because I don't think I do because I buy new heroes when they come out because I want to get the bundle with their cool skin. Mm-hmm. But lo and behold, 2 days ago, my stim pack ran out. What did I do? I bought the 360.
Click, click, click. Dude, these freaking... Okay, so this stuff in where you're doing making these purchases in-game, and you don't watch the money go anywhere. Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to know.
Well, yeah, but it's... Right. I don't want to know. Ugh, I know. Yeah. You look at a game like this, and this could potentially cost you way more than a WoW sub, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the way I look at it, is I love this game so much that it's free to play. I want to contribute to Blizzard for them to want to continue to make this a great game. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of look at buying the new heroes and the stim packs as a subscription to show my support to Blizzard. And because I just apparently hate money. But
So my biggest problem with the stim packs in general is that there's no content involved. It doesn't actually give you anything. Like, but it doesn't matter if your hero is, once you get past the point of talent gating, which they're removing anyways, right? Okay. So then you're not having Brightwing at level 2 is no different than having Brightwing at level 9.
But it's different at level 10 because you can get the master skins, which are sweet. And I think that's my main thing. I'm a sucker for the master skins.
I haven't bought one yet, man. I just can't. I can't find any that go, oh my god, put this on now.
I don't know. I have,
because the other skins are freaking stupid. Buccaneer Falstad.
Yeah, that one.
Shaking my fist. That's way better than any master skin.
That's,
you know?
That's true. But, I mean, some of the heroes, like I have Lili, Nazebo, Stitches, Uther.
Wintervale, Jaina?
Sylvanas.
Sylvanas master skin is sick.
Sylvanas master skin is awesome.
I don't know, dude. The face on the bow.
It's a shield. It's a face. A bow.
It's face.
Face. I don't know. But it's... I don't know. So that's it for me. I have an obsession with getting the master skins. It's mm-hmm. I don't know, an OCD
okay.
game. But it's so
yeah, and since you can only get those with gold.
Yeah, and that's all I spend my gold on. And then occasionally when the 20,000 gold mounts come out, I got mm-hmm. both the pig and the goblin.
I regret not getting the pig, but I do. I did get the treasure goblin because I shouldn't even say why, because it's probably inappropriate, but
I think I've used the pig twice. I instantly regretted that decision.
I saw a comment on Reddit that somebody said that the treasure goblin looks like you're riding a crippled child around. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I went in and got it, and I confirmed.
Speaking of the mount, well, the goblin's just a sweet mount. But it's like Cho'Gall, the fact that he carries the horses around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I understand that, you know, he can only use the horse models because that would be a ton of work for all the other ones. But it would be so worth it. I want to see them work a model in for the treasure goblin.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of him carrying it on his shoulder, he just has it by the feet mm-hmm. and is dragging it around with, like, gold spewing out of its bag.
See, that'd be cool.
You feel like even the doubloon, right? Like he could tuck that under his arm and go running with the giant coin under. You know, there's so many. Like I feel like they could do it. Come on.
Yeah, I know that's probably a lot of work to get those skeletons and stuff worked out, and yeah. I would rather them be working on new heroes and other stuff. But
yeah,
it would be sweet to see.
Yeah, the one that basically, what the heck, it looks like a Kodo. Like, you could see him grabbing that by the tail and dragging it around, you know. Like, yeah, there'd be something. I know they could, but yeah, you're right. I would much rather have new heroes than a funky mount variation on one hero.
Yeah.
Well, I can't justify this impact because at the end of the day, it doesn't provide me anything that I can't earn otherwise.
It's true.
It is accelerated, and that feeling of like of being three matches in and already hitting level 5 is nice. You know, it's really nice.
I think since I've had them so long and nonstop, if I didn't have it, I would literally go insane with the amount of time, like just the slow leveling. Even though it means nothing, I would just see it and be like, "Why?" Like, and the skin tints are important to me.
Yeah,
get those fast.
Yeah.
So.
With the exchange rate right now, it's probably $100 Canadian. I'm not buying that for $100. There's no way.
I figured I would at least get probably 6 more months of monthly ones. So if I'm going to do that anyways, why not just do this? And this may be, you know, after this year is up, I'll probably have enough gold to last a year. And we won't need another one.
I don't know. Here's some new mounts.
I'm trying to make myself feel better here, all right?
how many master skins do you have right now?
I think I have 9, which it's been going really slow. So I think I've gotten 1 probably in like the last 4 months. Like I cranked those things out. I got Kael'thas and the Butcher. I think I got the Butcher within like 2 or 3 days of launch, and I got Kael'thas in like 5.
Wow.
But I've been jumping around between so many heroes and playing different things that I just really haven't been grinding the new ones out.
That's my problem. I am like 1 game away from having the Butcher at level 10 right now, and I know that, but then I log in and there's Thrall with his this sweet lava bolt, and and then there's there's Kerrigan, and you know, it's like I'm like, gosh dang it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I probably have at least another 10 to 15 at level 9, and then another 10 at level 8. I think most of them are at least level 8, and then I have some that are like 7 and 6, but they're all at least 5.
Yeah. Every single one of mine is at a minimum of level 5, even Cho and Gaul, and the rest of them are, they're anywhere between 7 and 10 for the most part. But. Mm-hmm. Daryl, did you have any other questions, man? I feel like I just
kind of you did, but we already know you carry the show.
I was just so hyped, man. Like
I know.
Like a month, and like
you also play heroes probably 10 times more than I do. So, and I think that's conservative.
You can go in and look at how many matches you played. I think I went and looked the other night, and I'm pushing 1,000 right now.
Oh yeah,
and that's just since the reset they did before launch,
like the final phase of beta or whatever.
Yeah,
the open beta.
So that doesn't include all your alpha and closed beta games.
Yeah.
Like I played 3 last night, and before that it was maybe 2 weeks I had played. So,
well, I'm not gonna lie, man. Right now in Warcraft, like I'm frustrated with the Valor grind.
I haven't even logged into that either. So. There's that too.
You know, we've been trying to run Mythic Dungeons as a guild to help people get Valor, and I get it. Some people just aren't interested, you know, and it's like, whatever, man. I'm like,
I know I need to do that. I do need to do that.
I refuse to touch the Valor stuff. I'm on a Mythic raid team, and we took a break a few months ago. Mm-hmm. We just kind of decided to call it quits till Legion. But with the Legion Alpha and stuff coming out, I'm hopping back in. And our raid team recently just picked up. Every Sunday, we're doing moose runs for guildies, where I think we're taking... Last week, we took 23 of us on our raid team and carried 7 people through Heroic Archmon to get them their moose mount. And I think we did that 5 times on Sunday. So 35 people. We've had like 450 people sign up. So we're going to be doing that for a while. So that's, it's keeping me in raiding and stuff and keeping me sharp, I guess.
We're super casual. We're primarily normal mode. And then we've been, what are we, 7 of 13 heroic?
Yeah, we're 7.
I just don't see us even. I mean, I know we're months.
We're
months
there.
Away, but I don't know, man. I don't see us doing heroic. Your mom.
I don't know. And it's probably, the gear at this point makes it seem easy. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, probably. We did get normal mode, Archimon down finally, and that was cool. We have some friends that are mythically geared, and you know, sometimes they'll come in and give you that boost that you need. But I don't know, man. I swore at the beginning of this expansion that I wasn't even going to give two craps about alts, and I didn't. But now I'm sitting at 10 level 100s. And I don't care about any of them, really. It's super casual, and you know, I go in for fun, but like, I don't feel obligated to do anything in WoW right now.
Yeah.
When did you get 10? Holy.
I don't know, man. It sort of happened. I hit the Warlock this week.
But, jeez.
You know what makes it really easy, too, is you build yourself a 705 crafted weapon. And you go, and anything that comes near you just instantly disintegrates. So
yeah. Stare at it and it dies.
Yep. Well, I feel like I could probably go on for another hour about how deeply BlizzCon has impacted my life and how psyched I am. But
I could talk about. I should just do a 24/7 podcast and talk Blizzard all the time, because I could probably do it.
You know, our show started off initially as a Warcraft show, and it's evolved into a Blizzard show, and I'm glad, because at this point there really is enough content, and we just love that universe enough to where it's good. I like it. I feel like I think it's great that there's shows that are able to nail down one topic, or you got guys like Mick Montgomery who I don't even know how that guy maintains what he does with a family, and you know, Walking Dead podcast, a WoW podcast, a Heroes podcast, a comic podcast. You know, it's like, it's insane, and I totally respect that. But I really, really like the fact that we're able to we've diversified a little bit. We're able to stay in this universe and just cover talk about the things that kind of make us happy. So
yeah, absolutely. And if someone plays one Blizzard game, they probably play two or three, or you know, so there's that too, you know. Which is nice.
For the most part, I mean, people who like Blizzard, you know. And, and if you're a PC gamer, you probably play at least one of the titles. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, do you guys have anything else, maybe especially from BlizzCon, that really stuck out to you? Not even necessarily regarding Heroes, but in general, that you're excited about or looking forward to? Or
you know, I'm going to say I was. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you go.
Oh, I was. That was an of. Okay. So many things I have to think.
Okay. Well, I was actually. I was really surprised how much I enjoyed watching the Heroes Championship matches.
Right.
Like that was amazing, because I've never watched people stream their games. I just think that's stupid. Why would I watch someone else play a video game when I can sit at my computer and play that game myself? Like, why would I watch you do that? That's always been my thinking, and that's still how I think. But watching those matches there at BlizzCon was just amazing. Like everybody was there. Everyone was cheering. Everyone was into it. It was really amazing. And I want to watch more matches like that. Not just some Joe Blow, you know, streaming a video game or whatever, but I want to watch more Hero League or more, you know, Heroes of the Storm championship matches like that. Like, it was amazing. I'm just, that's the one thing that surprised me the most, was how much I enjoyed watching that.
Well, fine. I won't tell you my Twitch.
You can tell me, but I'm not going to watch it.
No, it's Heroes really is amazing to watch. And I think the casters we have are fantastic. You know, Gillyweed, Jake, Kubi, Grubby, and
dude,
Babel.
Babel, man. Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, the first time that this game really, I always thought it was going to be big in esports, but the first time I was like, Heroes has a real, real shot, was whenever they did the Heroes of the Dorm on ESPN. And I'm actually a little sad because I actually didn't pay attention that much to the matches just because I was on Twitter, like wanting to see how people were reacting that there's video games on ESPN. And half of them were pissed. They're like, where's my basketball, my soccer?
Suck it.
And the other half were like, I have no idea what I'm watching, but I can't stop. Like, these casters, these announcers are getting me so into this. They're like, go ham on the core? I don't know what that means, but do it. Yeah. It's, I had a conversation, like, I just made it like a point to go through, and anyone who had a reaction like that, just be like, hey, you know, thank you so much for like just checking it out, like, and giving it a shot. Like, I mean, and I started conversations. I talked to a group of baseball players from Ole Miss that were watching it, and had a conversation with them. They're like, what, like, do people get paid for this? I was like, dude, esports is one of the fastest growing things in the world right now. Like, there's prize pools of millions of dollars. And they're like, what? And they're like, dude, guys, let's quit baseball and put together a video game team. Let's do this.
Well, here's what's funny, that people can be like professional poker players.
And
I mean, that's a thing, and that's been around for a while. Dude, I remember watching World Series of Poker, like,
well, yeah,
you know, like 15 years ago. I'd watch it on, you know, on ESPN, and it would come on, and I would sit there for hours and watch it, and I really liked it. And I don't understand why it's such a huge stretch to think of, here's a competitive game that's a 5-on-5, you know, thing, or basically a, you know, a video game version of poker. You got Hearthstone, and why that's such a huge stretch for people to think like, this is cool, people like it, people are going to watch it and get psyched about it.
Yeah, and there's just been such a stigma on video games for the longest time that finally over the past 3 or 4 years is breaking. You know, people are coming out of the closet, athletes in, like, there's baseball players, and Mila Kunis and Cameron Diaz have talked about on talk shows how they played WoW.
Dude, the guy that plays Superman in the new movies, his whole story about how he almost missed the call to... to with the offer to be Superman because he was playing Warcraft.
Yeah, and like it's finally breaking that stigma of, you know, video gamers are 35-year-old people who live in their mother's basements, and like I think over the next few years it's really going to be an amazing thing. Unless you're Colin Cowherd and that guy is just a dick.
It's, that guy can eat a bag full of them. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't know, man. I know he. I was on a buddy's podcast this last week. It's called 5280 Nerd. It's a couple buddies from Colorado. They do kind of a, you know, pop culture, video games, music, movies thing, and we talked about that a little bit. And I guess that guy landed over at Fox Sports now.
Yeah, he got fired for making some racial comments about Dominican baseball players, and now he's at Fox Sports and has his own show. And I make it a point to point out all the he doesn't just make predictions. Like, he says things like he's going to be right 100% of the time. And every time he's not right, I make it a point to hop over on his Twitter and let him know. Screw you, Colin Cowherd.
That guy is so inappropriately stupid that I cannot believe, man. I really, really genuinely, I don't wish harm for people, but that guy just, I don't know, man. Like,
I hope someday he has to cover esports for the rest of his life.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I would love to have him front row center for one of these championships, and I could take those little Blizzard Thunder sticks and bang him in his face. Freaking coward. Well, if you guys have anything else you wanted to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, your name is not Colin Coward, please send us an email to the show at thetrainingdummies.com, or leave us a voicemail at thetrainingdummies.com. That's redundant.
A little bit.
Damn.
.com. Hey, don't matter what you're out of.
All right, hand love this evening. I'm going to send some to our guildies. Had one job on the Deathwing server.
You don't even play, dude.
Hey, I played 2 weeks ago. Zip it.
You had one job, Daryl.
Yeah, and my one job is guild leader raid organizer. Speaking of the raid, some hen love to our raid team, Team Crabdick. And specifically, because we haven't done a show since BlizzCon, lots of hen love to everyone from the raid team who made it to BlizzCon. I think there was, 12 of us there? And that was awesome. That was just amazing, having that many of us there. And I wish everyone could have made it. But it was just amazing to have everyone there and to meet everyone in person. I had met a couple last year, but to meet everyone else this year was just fantastic. And I need to send some head love to Gizmo for coming on the show this evening and talking all about heroes. So thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. I can talk heroes all the time, so anytime you guys need a heroes episode.
Oh, yeah. To piggyback on what Daryl was saying a little bit, we don't have a mega guild. We don't have one of the, we don't need Greenwald to talk. We're a pretty small, tight-knit group, and to see that many, 90% of our raid teams show up at BlizzCon,
it was amazing.
Phenomenal. It was super awesome. Thanks to all of them for coming out. Thanks to the people on Twitter that have been asking for a new episode and what's going on, and people being excited, and the people that I got to meet at BlizzCon. It just totally, if I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but I feel like it changed my life.
I think I've heard that before.
And thank you, Gizmo. Really, 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 really appreciate it. Taking time out of what you're doing to come and hang out with us a little bit tonight.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
How about you? What do you got for hand love?
So for me, I want to give some to the Zord Lords, which I know Multi back on his episode kind of explained that whole thing, our little tight-knit group of friends, gaming friends. And of course, the Lords of the Storm podcast, Multi Zord and TBK Zord, who joined me. It's been a blast. We never thought it would turn into what it has, and it's been amazing. Shout out to Convert to Raid. For both the guild and the show. I know I've told this story before on another podcast, but I probably wouldn't be playing WoW or Blizzard games in general if it wasn't for Convert to Raid. Back in, what was it? Mist of Pandaria, I kind of got burnt out. My guild fell apart. My server was falling apart. And one of my friends had been listening to podcasts, not WoW related, and I was like, you know what, podcasts sound cool, let me see if there's any WoW stuff. Found Convert to Raid, first podcast I ever listened to, rekindled my flame, transferred over, and to be able to be a part of that show now is still
that's
surreal.
Crazy, man.
It's surreal, and thank you so much to Pat and Darius for that opportunity. Some hin love for BlizzPro for inviting me to do the BlizzPro weekly. This stuff has all happened so fast, and it's been a roller coaster. And then Mick Montgomery for guesting on Lords of the Storm last night as we talked some stitches. And of course, the training dummy. You guys are awesome, and over 100 episodes. That's incredible. Congrats. And I hope that someday Lords of the Storm will make it there. If all goes well and continues to go as they're going, but man, podcasting, it's a blast. It's amazing.
It's awesome. You guys are like halfway there, man. You got it.
We're almost halfway there.
You probably get there a lot quicker than us. It took us what, over 3 years, I think.
Yeah, not some unofficial hiatuses. Daryl likes to take a 3-month break during the summer, and the BlizzCon recovery time that we, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I don't think we've missed an episode yet. There's been some weeks, but we've been busy and kind of been like,
we've never missed one. They just just come out later.
So we've been, and we have, our super fans or whatever that are in our Discord community is amazing, and they want the episodes, so, and we are more than happy to give them to them. So it's just the heroes and Blizzard community, amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up episode number 1012, is that what it was?
Something like that.
Gizmo, why don't you let everybody know where they can reach you or follow you or like you or Discord you or...
So you guys can find me on Twitter at GizmoZord, on Twitch, Daryl, if you want to watch me play some games on twitch.tv/GizmoZord.
Thanks. And then again, I probably won't.
You can also find me at the Heroes Podcast, Lords of the Storm, Convert to Raid. I'm on there every 2 to 3 weeks, and, BlizzPro Weekly on the BlizzPro YouTube channel. So you can check those out if you want.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 112 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.